Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the ClickFunnels Radio podcast. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. I'm super excited today. I have the opportunity of having Craig Ballantyne. He's the author of The Perfect Day Formula. And this is a man who you want to listen to because he's been an entrepreneur for years. The great thing is he's done things online and offline. And so, first of all, welcome, Craig. Glad to have you on the call.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Really excited to be here.
Craig, one of the things I love about all your work, so first of all, for those of you guys who are not familiar with Craig, Turbulence Training is a home workout system that he's used for years. But most importantly, he's also has had the opportunity of working with EarlyToRise.com, which is it's a co-owner of the Success newsletter there. And the thing I love most about Craig is this is a man who takes massive, massive action. And he does it in a way that doesn't jeopardize his life and his lifestyle. And he's Craig, you live the life that all of us hope to and dream of doing as entrepreneurs. And I think that's probably why you ended up writing the book.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky to have what some people call the internet lifestyle. You know, I've been able to travel and work and make money from all over the world and help a lot of people. I mean, we are in the mass consumer business, and we've helped, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and it's really, really wonderful. Imagine the feedback that you can get when you have that many clients.
Well, I appreciate that. I know you do a lot of charity work over in some Asian countries, I believe. Is that right? You guys go over there quite often?
We do a seminar in Lithuania in Eastern Europe, and then we actually do something really close and cool to home, which is we participate in the Denver Toys for Tots charity toy drive at Christmas with the Marines. And last year we bought over $151,000 worth of toys. So that's over 7,500 toys that we bought. And it makes a bit of a dent in what the kids need. But believe it or not, Denver needs 96,000 toys a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. That's
crazy.
Crazy stuff. So for people listening, if those kids didn't get a toy delivered from the Marines, they would literally wake up on Christmas morning without a single present. So we buy the toys. We go shopping at Walmart. We get all our friends in there, like Mike Geary and Vince Del Monte and Isabel De Los Rios and the people from BioTrust. And all these great folks come in, and we go shopping at Walmart on a Saturday morning, and we buy up all these toys. And then we've loaded up, like, tons and tons of shopping carts. We put them in the back of a Marine truck. We fill three Marine trucks. They drive it to a district. Yeah, it's amazing. Pedro's helped on this too. We drive it to a distribution center, then they unload it there, and then they take them out to community centers, and the community centers give it to the parents of the children who need the toys. So it's quite a operation, obviously, but most people probably have this in their area. And unfortunately, a lot of these Toys for Tots drives are always hurting every year. So if you can, go and buy a couple toys and pass it on.
Oh, that's awesome. It just goes to show your generosity. I think that's very, very cool. Well, with that, I want to kind of get right into this. The Perfect Day Formula is a book I would recommend everybody buys. For one, I spent a lot of time with Russell, and we're always trying to find different ways of biohacking our life. And I think the Perfect Day Formula is probably one of the best things I've ever seen in print on exactly how to do that for an entrepreneur, to really provide more, to give you back your life as an entrepreneur. That's really why I wanted to have Craig here on the call. I had the opportunity. I've followed you, Craig, for years and years and years online, and had the opportunity of actually meeting you at Pedro's event just a couple of weeks ago, and just love the work that you've done. And I really want to kind of dive right into this, because you're always out there helping so many people. And I think the Perfect Day Formula is, as it mentions, it's the perfect way of setting up your day. So if you don't mind, if we can kind of just jump right in this, and if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about how you even came up with creating this Perfect Day Formula.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really come from all the mistakes that I had made as a younger man and not being able to make the most of my days. And so I think everybody listening has had those days where they feel like they did a lot of work, but at the end of the day, they don't feel like they made a lot of progress. And it's really frustrating to have those days. And so the Perfect Day Formula isn't just another time management book. It isn't just another, you know, time hacks book, because what some people actually end up doing is they become really productive and really efficient at doing the wrong things. And so, you know, you can become really, really good at things that don't actually matter. And so there's actually three parts to the book. And a lot of it comes from what I learned from a man who lived 2,000 years ago, a Stoic philosopher named Epictetus. And if anybody's ever, you know, Tim Ferriss talks about this, and Ryan Holiday writes a lot about Stoic philosophy. And it really is a really great way to live. And what I learned from Epictetus was you need to control what you can, cope with what you can't, and concentrate on what counts. And that really lifted a burden of stress off me when I interpreted that and started living by that way in my life. And then I applied it to three sections in the book and three sections of our days, which is control your mornings, cope with the chaos in the afternoon with the five pillars of transformation, and then concentrate on what counts at night by creating the vision for your life and doing everything to get you towards that freedom that you earn in the evenings from having structure in your day. So it's a little formula, like, you know, the book promises, and it's a short read, as you mentioned, and it really just shows people, listen, this is how you structure the morning, this is how you get through the afternoon, and then you have all this freedom at night for your family, your hobbies, your health, and to enjoy the wealth that you've built.
I absolutely love that. As I mentioned, Bedros gave me a copy of this for Christmas, and I was up at our cabin over in the mountains, basically. And again, it's a quick read, but I've got this thing dog-eared and more yellow highlights and stuff because I just love how practical it is and how easy it is to apply in your life. And I know for my wife, she's always complaining that I basically live, breathe, eat, sleep my work because to me, it's a hobby. It's a passion. I'm super passionate about it. But what I've learned through all this is really the importance of taking that time out for your loved ones. And by doing that, you get a lot more support from them. And you actually do get more done during the day, as I've been implementing a lot of what you've written about. I think it's just amazing. So I appreciate your writing and everything that you've done here.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. And I just want to highlight a couple of success stories and feedback that I've received from people. So one is Bedros. And if you've interviewed Bedros for the show, people know him. I mean, he's a heck of a guy. And this is a man who has built a giant franchise, who runs big seminars, who's a really, really sharp marketer. But, I mean, he also gets home on time at the end of his workday so he can play guitar with his son before dinner and then play ping pong with his kids after dinner. So not only is he getting home on time for dinner, which most entrepreneurs struggle with, but he actually has time both before and after dinner to spend with his family. And, again, he does a lot of great stuff during the day as well, and he does a lot of these physical challenges and stuff. So he's not just working all day. So he's been a great success story who's used a lot of the ideas in the book. And then there's another person who has just bought my book. I've never met her, but she's a client from California, and she is a pediatric anesthesiologist. I always say that wrong, but pediatric anesthesiologist. So very, very busy woman. But she has been able to strengthen her marriage mostly through the vision exercise. And basically it's communicating what you see for the future of your family. And when people do that, they have much more clarity with their spouse about, hey, this is what I'd like to do, and I hope that, you know, you're going to come on this journey with me. And they're like, yeah, okay, so let's do this for the kids. And, you know, now it eliminates a lot of the stress because a lot of stress comes from a lack of communication. So that's been really wonderful to get that kind of feedback from people who have implemented it, just like you said, to get more done in their life and also just to have more clarity and you know, remove that stress that we have that doesn't really need to be around, and we don't need that stress because we're so busy with other things.
Well, Craig, that's awesome. I love seeing how it applies to people's lives. And for me, as I was kind of going through this, one of the things that kind of caught me off guard, we kind of talked about it earlier, and that is, you know, as an entrepreneur, I always kind of think, I'll just kind of go out and do my own thing, and I really don't like the whole corporate structure. But one of the things you've really talked a lot about is the importance of having rules in your life. And for a lot of entrepreneurs, that kind of goes against the grain, at least when you first hear about having to have rules in your life. But I know as I've implemented some of the stuff you've said, the impact that it's had. Do you mind sharing a little bit about the importance of creating rules for your life and what you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So most people, like you said, they reject that idea. But, you know, the more structure you have in your life, the more freedom you have in your life. And there's a popular book out right now by a Navy SEAL named Jocko Willink. And he says something very similar. He says discipline equals freedom, and it's very true. The more structure you have in the day, the more work you're going to get done in that day so that you have more freedom at night. Because it is very easy for people like you and I, Dave, to take our work and let it kind of just bleed into the rest of our days. But we need to separate work and home time. And one woman who I was very impressed by is Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, who had a rule that, you know, every night she's home for dinner with her children. And her husband passed away tragically, unfortunately, quite recently. But he had the same rule. They were always home for dinner with their children, because research shows that if you're home for dinner with your children, you have the greatest chance of raising well-adjusted kids. So it's really important. And you can, you know, as an entrepreneur, you get to actually set the rules for how you live. And, you know, Yannick Silver is a great mentor of mine, and he's always said, you know, build your life around your business. And that's what we can do as business owners. And so it comes down to having structure. And most people, well, everybody listening to this call lives by rules every day. You stop at red lights, you live by rules. You know, you don't kill anyone or steal from somebody, you're following the Ten Commandments. So you are living by rules already. And another good example is if you follow a specific diet, like a paleo diet or a vegetarian diet, there's very specific rules in that. And it allows you to have require less discipline and willpower. It's like the old Steve Jobs always wore the black turtleneck, so he didn't have to think about what he was going to wear that day. That was just his rule, his little uniform. And say with, you know, Mark Zuckerberg apparently has 30 gray T-shirts or something in his closet, so he doesn't have to think about, you know, little things like that, so he can focus on the big things and the big decisions. And so when you have rules, you have limits and cutoffs to your behavior. It does help you behave in a better way. It helps you take up better habits. And again, it eliminates stress and willpower, the reliance on willpower, because that is a depletable resource. And if you rely on willpower all day long, at the end of the day, at nighttime, when, you know, the chocolate cake comes your way, or the, you know, the second or third extra glass of alcohol comes your way, you can't say no to it because you have no willpower left. And the next thing you know, you wake up late the next morning not feeling well, and you're already behind the eight ball and running behind in the world, and that's not what you need as a business owner. So the rules really help you having structure and giving you more freedom, which is a paradox, but it really, really works.
I love that. Actually, I've been going through your book, and as we've been talking, and one of the things I remember the first time I read through this, chapter 10 is where you talk about the 10-3-2-1-0 good night formula to guaranteeing yourself 15 minutes of freedom. If you don't mind, if you could share, as I read through that, I thought that is just so cool because it's so simple, and yet it actually works. I've done that. I know it works. I've used it. So would you mind sharing that with people?
The 10-3-2-1 formula?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that you say that you like that, because that's actually been picked up by Inc.com and even The Telegraph, which is a major newspaper in London. So they've actually, you know, I actually read The Telegraph, and one day I went on there and it said, author claims 10-3-2-1 formula helps you sleep better. And I went, wait a minute, I have a formula like that. And it turned out to be my someone wrote about me. So anyways, the formula is scientifically proven. You'll hear about it from all types of sleep experts. But it's basically, if you want to have a good night's sleep, there's some ways to ensure it. And that is 10 hours before you want to go to sleep, stop drinking caffeine. Because the half-life of caffeine, what that means is how long it stays in your blood, is about 10 hours. So for me, I'm very caffeine sensitive. So I stop my caffeine about 12 or 14 hours before I go to sleep. Basically, I don't have very much during the day. And then 3 hours before bed, you should stop drinking alcohol. Now, this is very tough, and it leads to either you not drinking any alcohol or you drinking in the afternoon. So I guess that's up to you, however you want to live your life. But, there's a double-edged sword to alcohol. First of all, it relaxes you, and it makes you think you can fall asleep better. But it really messes up with your sleep cycle so that you do wake up drowsy the next day, even if you just have a glass or two of wine before you go to bed. So you do need to be careful about when you drink your alcohol. And then 2 hours before bed, you need to stop not eating, basically. You need to not have any heavy meals or heavy foods or spicy foods 2 to 3 hours within bedtime, because that can also impact your sleep. And then an hour before bed, you need to cut off all electronics so that you stop looking at the lights and the screens, because those will also make you increase your alertness and your arousal levels, and that will stop you from falling asleep. So, you know, you need to go old school, basically, for the last hour before bed. You know, read a book, do the dishes, hang out with your children, read them a book, spend time with your spouse. Whatever you do, just stay away from electronics, and it'll really help you. And then one last little thing to do is to set an alarm for an hour before bedtime so that you know when to turn the electronics off. So your only alarm that you should really need is before bed, not in the morning. So you don't want to hit snooze in the morning, because if you hit snooze and you sleep for 5 or 10 minutes, it actually makes you more tired because you get into sleep cycles and then you wake yourself up out of a sleep cycle again and you end up being more fatigued. So you do need to have that discipline to avoid hitting snooze in the morning, and that's the last little trick in that formula so that you wake up rested and ready to go to rock and roll for the rest of the day.
I think that's awesome. I by choice don't drink alcohol, but I can tell you the one thing that we've implemented in our own family is no screens. And again, at first I thought it was just, you know, TV screens. And when I'm traveling, I usually have the TV on. I usually fall asleep to the TV. But I've noticed that it's the phones and the computer screens and everything else, at least in our house, it's been really fun for me. For one, we've got a lot more quality time with our family during that last hour. But with no computer screens on, no TV screens, and especially no phones for the kids and things, it's really a calming, happy time, as weird as that might sound. Because usually in our house, bedtime is a pretty chaotic time. So I loved your formula.
Yeah, and one of my business partners, Matt Smith, actually has these things called device-free days with his children where they're not allowed to have iPads or anything, and he doesn't have the TV on or anything. And they actually sit down and do things like, you know, maybe you did in the 80s. And he found that his kids would get so bored, they would actually start inventing games and playing like kids did in the 80s and 70s and before that. And it's a really neat thing to try. It's difficult at first, especially if your kids play a lot of computer games on the iPads and whatnot. But it is a really, really great thing. And I actually do device-free days for myself. And it's very liberating to not, you know, be checking ESPN twice a day, which is one of my bad habits that I still need to get over, or reading your email, but just, you know, have an emergency way of reaching you. But other than that, just stay away from electronics, and it's really, really fantastic.
It's so funny you mentioned that. I started having device-free days out of actually an emergency situation that happened when I was reading your book up in the mountains. The power went out. And I was supposed to be doing a podcast. I was supposed to be doing all this stuff. And we had no – so I'm sitting there reading your book about this whole device-free day thing, and we had no power for almost 36 hours. And it was kind of fun because the kids were the same way. They were out playing in the snow, and we started playing board games. They put a puzzle together, and it was actually really kind of cool. So we're trying to implement that at least once a month of just ripping all the electronics away and just having family time. So I think it's –
oh, that's fantastic.
I love it. Very, very cool. Well, main thing I really want to spend time on right now, and that is concentrating on what counts. That's what I really got out of your book, was the importance of focusing on what counts, because as an entrepreneur, it's so easy to get busy but not productive. And I love what you talked about as far as really focusing on what counts. So if you don't mind sharing not only the importance of finding out what counts, but more specifically, how does a person find out what really does count, and how do they create that vision?
Yeah, it's a great question, because so many people, maybe not the elite entrepreneurs, but definitely people getting started, people young in their businesses, especially a lot of people who were at the event that you and I were at recently with Bedros, they come up to me and say, Craig, you know, this all sounds good, but I don't know what really matters. And often they're in transition periods of their life. And so I explain it using something that I learned from my friend Luciano Del Monte, who is Vince Del Monte's father. And he said to me, Craig, that everybody is in a season of life, you know, and so a young person who's engaged and going to be married and is going to have kids in a couple years, well, they might be in a season of wealth building because they have to, you know, save money for the house, they have to save money for their business, they have to invest in their business, they have to save money for their kids, and so they're going to be focusing really hard on building that business. And so they're going to make, you know, their number one priority in their day about building the business, you know, driving leads, making sales. They're going to be doing all of those things while still making time, of course, for their fiance and for their health as well, but it's really going to be focused on the wealth. Whereas a person who's 50 years old and, you know, he or she has had some success and, you know, the kids are graduating high school and off to college, but they might not have taken care of their health for the last 20 years. And so they're in a season of health. And so that's going to be their number one priority. And everyone should have a number one priority that they work on first thing in the morning, even if it's just for 15 minutes. And so that person who's in a season of health, they might get up and make, you know, some type of blender drink or, you know, juice drink and take care of their nutrition and then and do a little exercise before that or do some meditation. But taking care of their health is going to be their number one priority because that's their season. And then there might be someone who's just a newlywed and, they, you know, they have a new kid. Well, obviously, if you have a child, a baby, you're going to be in that season of family. And so that's going to be your number one priority. Of course, you're going to be working on your business and your health, but family comes first at that time. And so everyone has this season of health, wealth, family, or even social and personal development. Like, for example, right now, my mother, she's retired. Financially, she's free. And she's in a season of personal development and enrichment where she's just volunteering all the time. So, you know, everyone's got their season of life, and that's how you determine, you know, what's going to be your number one priority. And then from there, you focus on that number one priority first thing in the morning, even if it's for 15 minutes. Because when I was a personal trainer back in 2002, 2003, 2004, trying to start my online business, and I had to be at the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was getting up at 4:30 to work in my online business for 20 minutes before I had to catch the bus to go downtown to Toronto and train people, which I loved doing, but I hated leaving you know, the computer because I was on such a roll. But I worked in what this author, Alice Munro, calls the slivers of time over the course of the day. I was always working on my number one priority. Even though I was standing on the subway on the way home, packed subway, I was... You know, I had my little BlackBerry, and I was writing articles and stuff and finding ways to always work on the number one priority. So once you get focused in on that, then you're always going to move towards that, and you are going to get there. And if you focus, 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 you'll get there sooner than ever possible.
I love that. I love the concept of slivers of time. I think too often I talked with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of guys who are even you're trying to get their business going where they're transitioning from what they may currently have into something new. They just feel like, you know, I just never have time. I can't do it. And so you come up with all these excuses as far as, well, I need to have at least 4 hours to be able to focus on that. And 4 hours just isn't ever going to come in one time block when you're in that kind of a transition. So I love that concept. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and just to give credit where credit is due, Alice Munro won, like, the Nobel Prize for Literature in the last couple of years. And she's a very famous Canadian short story writer. And she was an author in the 60s, I believe, when she had two young children. And so, and she was a single mom. So she was living above the bookstore where she worked and writing in the slivers of time. And I think I got that story from a really great book called Daily Rituals by Mason Curry, which is really, really fantastic book. But again, going back to what you said, you know, if you think something's going to take 4 hours, you're never going to find 4 hours. So I always recommend, you know, the number one action step that for people that have the book, you know, like, where do I start? Get up 15 minutes early tomorrow before everyone else in your house, no matter what time you get to bed tonight, get up early, sit at your kitchen table with a piece of paper and a pen, identify your number one problem in your life, and work on it. You know, brainstorm all the ideas that you're going to do to solve that problem, whether it's getting out of $5,000 worth of debt, you know, how am I going to get on a lower interest rate card, how am I going to make some more money to pay off the debt, or if it's finding the love of your life, or if it's getting in back in better health, or if it's writing a sales letter or designing a web page, whatever it is, if you just have 15 minutes of clear-headed, quiet thinking with no one else around, you know, most entrepreneurs don't have that an entire day. So if you make that 15 minutes first thing in the morning, you're going to move ahead if you stick to that every single day. It's just life-changing.
I love that. That's fantastic. You know, Craig, I don't think everyone understands the amount of experience that you're coming from a speaking standpoint. You, when you were speaking on stage at Bedros' event, you made mention of the many transformational contests that you've ran. And if you don't mind kind of talking a little bit to people who are listening right now with regard to how your transformation contests work, why they're 90 days, and most importantly, what you've learned from literally, I think at this point, you've got to be approaching close to 1 million people having gone through those transformation contests, if not at least way into the high 100,000s.
Hundreds of thousands of people that have used our programs, and we've done our 25th transformation contest. We just had a guy lose 75 pounds in 12 weeks. It's almost like you can't believe it, and it's amazing. And so what I've learned is that people who succeed in transforming their life in any way, actually, not just in weight loss, is that they have what I call the five pillars in place. And the five pillars are better planning and preparation, professional accountability, social support, a meaningful incentive, and then the big deadline. And so if you don't mind, I'll go through all of those quickly, Dave, with some examples.
I would love it.
Use those. Great.
Please.
So people, again, can change any aspect of their life with these five pillars. It's not just weight loss. So you can do this to get out of debt, find the love of your life. And I'll show people how. So, first of all, it's better planning and preparation. It's one thing for someone to set a vague goal, like I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to make $100,000. But if you don't actually have a plan for that to put it in place, you're never actually going to get it done. So if you want to make $100,000 this year, well, that's $8,333 a month, which means, you know, you're looking at almost $2,500 a week. Well, how are you going to make $2,500 a week? Well, I sell $100 programs, so I have to sell 25 programs. And in order to sell 25 programs, I need to get at least, you know, 250 leads, because I can close one in every 10 person on the phone. So I need to make 250 leads, and if I need to get 250 leads, then I need to run, you know, 400 Facebook ads, or I need to send out 2,500 postcards, or whatever it is I need to do. But you break it down like that, and now you have a really great plan. And in the weight loss world, it's, you know, I have this meal plan I'm going to follow. I have this workout program I'm going to follow 3 days a week. I have a trainer. Boom, I'm all set. So that's better planning and preparation. It works for everything. The next is professional accountability. And the third is social support. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's the difference between professional accountability and social support? And research shows that when you have accountability to a professional, you get better results than when you're just accountable to a friend. Because a professional brings expertise, they can give you expert advice, and they also don't take any baloney, no excuses from you. So that is the difference between professional accountability. They're your coach, and the social support, which are your cheerleaders, you know, the people that are going to cheer you on all the time when you're down, but they won't ever actually have any really great expert advice to give you. And if you screw up, they won't be upset with you. They'll just be cheering you on, so they won't really hold you accountable. So that's the third pillar. You do need those people who are always positive and cheering you on. The fourth pillar is a meaningful incentive, and that's a very important word there, meaningful. It has to be meaningful to you. So a lot of people who come in try and lose weight, they, you know, they read about my contest, they can win some money or they can lose, you know, 20 pounds in the contest, and that's fine to get you through the first couple of weeks. That'll give you enough motivation to get started, but that's not really meaningful to somebody. Meaningful is having more energy for your kids. Meaningful is losing 10 pounds so your spouse thinks you're sexy again. That's meaningful. That's really going to make you make a change. You know, building respect in the business community so that people don't think that, you know, you're a failure. That's a meaningful incentive for you to go out and really take action and succeed. It's not about the money. It's about the other things, the respect and success that succeeding will bring you. And so that's why you need a meaningful incentive, something that's personally meaningful to you. And then finally, the big deadline. So you have mentioned before, you know, why the 90 days or 12 weeks in the transformation contest. And it's because that we need this deadline to spur us to action. So everybody knows that Christmas is on December 25th. It's that way every year. It's not like that sneaky holiday of Easter that, you know, bounces around. Everybody knows it's the 25th. But what's the busiest shopping day of the year? The 23rd and 24th, because that is the power of the deadline. Because if you buy something for somebody for Christmas on the 26th of December, that's not going to go over very well. You know, they're going to be very disappointed you didn't have something for them on the 25th. And so that's a real-world deadline. So deadlines make us take action. And the deadlines also give us that momentum and motivation to stick with something when, you know, you're halfway through a 12-week program or halfway through an 8-week course on how to, you know, build your list, and you're like, oh man, I just want to quit this thing. But then you realize, hey, I'm halfway through, I'm down on the home stretch. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's like that last mile of the marathon. You actually start picking up speed and taking action. And so you need to set deadlines in your life if you want to change. And one thing that worked really well for me was I was kind of dragging my heels on this turbulence training certification program that I wanted to put together for my business. And I was just like, oh, I just haven't got this done. And so what I did was I hired a videographer, I paid him in advance, and then I rented a room at a hotel, you know, a conference room, and I paid for that in advance, and the date was set. And so then I had to get my work done because I had to hit that deadline. Otherwise, I would forfeit about $1,000, and I wasn't, you know, in any position to do that at the time. So that is a way that people can put that deadline into their life to make them take action on something they're procrastinating about in their business. You know, put that money out in advance so that you're not going to get it back if you don't hit it. So that's actually the most impactful pillar of them all. When you have all five in place, you can do anything, and it's the deadline that actually gets you to take the most action.
I absolutely love that. I can tell you that I think one of the things I've enjoyed most as I've kind of read through all this and hearing you say it again is the importance of that deadline and making sure that that you actually pay for that deadline in advance. I think it's such a cool idea, whether it's, you know, you're going to lose weight in 90 days and you pay in advance to have a photo shoot, or
right.
Your example where you've got, you know, you're sitting there and you've already paid for the videographer. Because the hard part, everyone's, you know, well, this 90 days now becomes 120, and then it becomes 180, and now it's 5 years down the road and that 90 days never really happened. So I think that's really, really cool. I know we've implemented that a ton with ClickFunnels. We'll bring all of our team in and we'll have a funnel hacking night where basically everyone just comes in and the whole team's together, and there's certain things that have to get done before anyone can catch their flight to go out in the next couple of days. And those deadlines, honestly, I'm a huge, huge believer. We built the business around deadlines. So I love what you're saying about deadlines. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it really leads to that speed of implementation that Dan Kennedy talked about so much back when he was promoting that Phenomenon DVD that he had years ago. And it was all about, you know, you got to take action fast because that attracts other people to come in and help you and get your results fast. And one other thing that I highly recommend people do is that they share their goals with the right people. So with that positive social support and with your accountability coach, you share your goals with them because, you know, there's a lot of bad things about human nature, but some of the great things about human nature is when you find a good person and you tell them what you want to achieve, it's almost like that person is now put on autopilot and they will do nothing but think about ways to help you. It's almost like you can't stop somebody. Like, you couldn't stop Bedros from trying to help you if you said to Bedros, hey, we want to get 100 new clients into ClickFunnels. Bedros would be thinking about that all the time. He'd be, you know, telling everybody that he knew. He'd be thinking about who he could connect you with, Dave. I mean, that's just what good people do. And when you tell somebody who is a good person about your goals, it galvanizes them to action. And I've had that in my own business where I told people I wanted to help 1 million people transform their lives. And I would get emails from strangers about, hey, how can I help you? You know, what can I do to help you achieve this really great goal? And I had so many people help me that I actually had to increase it to 10 million people because we achieved pretty much the 1 million people so fast. So I know there's so much negativity out in the world right now, but when you find good people, like at events like Bedros's, and I found my first batch of good people at Underground in 2007, and, you know, through Russell's event, you're going to find good people. And when you find good people, they will go out of their way to help you, and it's just really, really wonderful thing. So that's another part of success that you really need to put into your program.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. I can't, again, amen. I totally agree completely with that. And I think it ties into what you're just referencing as far as that speed of implementation. Things happen when that momentum gets going, and I think that's super, super cool.
Yeah, so much. I mean, I just think people underestimate the power of social support. And especially a lot of people that are in the real world still and maybe just, you know, doing their own business on the side, they have way too many interactions with negative people, and you can't tell those people your dreams. You actually have to be very, very cautious when you're first getting, you know, finding out your dreams and figuring out who are these positive people. You know, actually just hold back first until you kind of, like, can trust somebody to share positive stuff with, because otherwise negative people, they can really be downers on you and you know, get in the way of your success.
Oh, totally agree. Well, Craig, as we kind of wrap things up here, what's the best way of people getting a hold of you and getting your book?
Well, the best way to get the book is on Amazon, but there's also something that's even better than just the book. We actually put together this really cool physical kit that comes with all these transformation tools that basically is like having me sitting down at your kitchen table and walking you through the total transformation that people need to have with their rules for their day, their five pillars of success in the afternoon, and then they're creating their vision at night. And so they can get that at theperfectdayformula.com, and we ship it out. It's like having a Christmas present show up at your house, and it's really, really cool. And then the best way for people to get a hold of me is actually through Twitter. I'm actually pretty responsive on that. So twitter.com/Craig Ballantyne is the best way to contact me if they have any questions. And then I'd love for people to stop by and read our articles about productivity and success at earlytorise.com.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that site. And again, I wish we had more time. Could you quickly summarize? Because I think it's just the coolest story in the world as far as how you came to get Early to Rise.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked me that because I love telling that story. And basically, everyone's familiar with The Secret, I'm sure, listening to this call. And, you know, when I watch The Secret, I'm a pretty skeptical guy, and I thought, this is kind of hokey. But I did like one part. I like this one part where John Assaraf talks about how he's living in the house that was once on his vision board. And I kind of think that vision boards are helpful. And then so in 2006, when I hired my first coach, and one of my regrets is not hiring my coach sooner, so everyone should hire a coach as soon as they can. But the very first question that my coach asked me on our very first call was, Craig, what do you want your business to look like in 5 years from now? And at that time, I was just running Turbulence Training, my fitness business. But I said to Tom, my coach, I said, I would love to have a business like this website, earlytorise.com, because I really love the health, wealth, and wisdom that they send out every day. And this guy who writes it, Michael Masterson, he's really, really great. And so that was it. You know, that was all that we had in the conversation. And then the next year after that, after Tom really helped me build my business, I joined Yonex Mastermind. And then the year after that, I met a gentleman named Matt Smith in Yonex Mastermind. And Matt and I became really good friends, and we hung out for a couple years. And then in 2010, we were on one of Yonex's crazy maverick business adventure trips with Ferris, and it was really great. We were shooting guns and driving cars out in the desert. And then on the way back home, Matt and I were talking at the Tucson airport, and he said, well, you know, what do you want to do with the fitness business? You know, what's your plan? And I said again that I wanted to have something like Early to Rise. So I was telling a positive person about my dreams. And then 6 months later, Matt was at a seminar with Michael Masterson, and Michael Masterson said that he didn't really want to run Early to Rise anymore. And Matt had his antenna up, and he said, hey, well, I have a friend who would love to run that business. And so Matt and I flew to Florida. We negotiated a deal to take over the business, and I bought it 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days after I said to Tom Venuto, in 5 years, I'd love to have a business like Early to Rise. So I had my own little secret moment, I guess you would say. And people, you know, in the movie, they talk about the law of attraction, but it's really the law of action attraction. So you basically, you know what you want, you create that vision for your life in the third part of my book, and then you go and you simply take action every day towards that goal. And you're going to attract people into your life that are going to help you achieve those goals, especially when you share your vision with other good people. Again, it will galvanize them to go out and help you reach your goals. So, you know, whenever people tell me that they want to do this, this, or this, I just go to my little Rolodex of people, my spreadsheet of people, and I try and figure out, like, how can I connect them with people? And one of my mentors now is Joe Polish. I'm in his 25K group, which is an amazing group. And he's always doing that. He's always figuring out who he can connect people with. And I've really modeled my thinking after Joe because he's just so honorable for doing that. And I think everybody should do that. And when you ask for help as well, people will bring it to you. And so that is my real-life vision in action and my little story that gives me goosebumps every time I tell it.
Me too. I love it. It's funny because I've seen both you and Bedros. I can see Joe Polish kind of rubbing off on both you guys because while I was at the event, both of you guys came up to me and said the same thing. Dave, how can we help you? How can we help grow ClickFunnels? What can we do? And it's funny because Russell and I joined Joe Polish's 25K group last October. That is
right.
The 25K event. And it's again, it's one of those things when you start associating with people that, like, if they're not like you right now, but like what you want to become, you become those types of people very, very quickly. Again, you mentioned Yannick, and I've done a ton of things with Yannick's groups over the years. And there's something about the mastermind. There's something about being around people who are better than you that helps you rise up to that level, and then you in turn help other people do the same. So I just, again, congratulations to all of your success, Craig.
Well, thank you very much. And just the last point on that, so Josh Carter, who was speaking at Bedros' event, said something that Bedros has written about before, which is if you hang around five people, you're going to be the sixth. And what that means, if you hang around five successful people, you'll be the sixth. If you hang around five fit people, you will be the sixth fit person. And there's research from Harvard that shows if you hang around overweight people, you're going to be overweight. If you hang around people that smoke, you're going to start smoking. And so it really is who you hang around with that, you know, people have talked about this for years and years and years and years. You know, you're the average of the five people you hang around with. It is true. It's scientifically proven. And so, you know, I'm an introverted person. I don't love to go out and network and schmooze at events. I'd, you know, rather stay in my hotel room and read. But I've been able to go out and meet a lot of great people. And anybody who's, you know, hesitant to do that, I encourage you to get out to the next event, whether it's Russell's or, you know, Ryan Dice's or Joe Polish's. Just get out, meet some people, and just grow it from there. And you're going to meet some amazing people. And life becomes so much easier when you're able to make money with friends.
Oh, love it. I'm going to end on that note, making money with friends. I think that's fantastic. Craig, thank you so very much for absolutely everything and for your friendship as well. It's been great getting to know you more and more all the time. So thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Dave. It was a really great interview, and I always say the interview is made by the questions, and you did a great job. So thanks so much for allowing me to have my little stories.
Thanks again, bud. For those of you guys who don't have ClickFunnels right now, we want to make sure you get a copy really fast. So just go to clickfunnelsradio.com/free trial, and you'll get yourself a 14-day free trial. For those of you guys who really want to kind of help us grow ClickFunnels, we would love your assistance. And one of the best ways of doing that is going to clickfunnelsradio.com/dreamcar. The reason we call it Dream Car is because we're actually going to give you a giveaway, $500 per month to you to lease or purchase whatever car you want once you have 100 users. And with 200 users, that's $1,000 a month coming to you. And obviously, that's also in addition to the 40% that you get for all the affiliate commission. So go to clickfunnelsradio.com/dreamcar. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to talking to you guys real soon.